Then he runs off because he becomes shy. But one thing I want to flag here, I'm not just showing this to you because I'm some kind of crazy fan, although I am that. I want to kind of highlight just how impactful within the context of Korean screen culture it is to see true flesh and blood men kissing like this. Whilst within the realm of a web novel and to a lesser extent, webtoons, this sort of representation could be considered somewhat divorced from reality because of the kind of textual nature of the text. Within this context, where we're seeing the normalization within one specific media genre, BL web series, of male-male intimacy. And I should flag that up until Semantic Era, it was more common for these kiss scenes to be somewhat like staged or put together using clever camera angles rather than actual lip locking, for want of a better word. This is rather revolutionary. So it's also significant. I just want to kind of touch on some of the issues that were raised in Yumi Kim's presentation and to kind of talk about how the web series, particularly because it was somewhat aiming for a broader international audience at the beginning of its production, did actually address some of those issues that Yumi Kim highlighted. So brilliantly highlighted, I might add. So one of the most important things is that throughout the series, we return to a context within which Jaehyung, so the male, the Gong in the character couple, his non-heterosexuality or his non-exclusive non-heterosexuality is kind of celebrated in the sense that we see and learn through his dialogue and the ways in which he interacts with Sungu that he is a bisexual man. And I want to flag that bisexuality is a very key aspect of the messaging within Semantic Era, because it isn't just Jaehyung who is presented as bisexual, but also one of the supporting characters who, as we learned within the shift from the web novel to the webtoon, lost a lot of their empowering representation within the web series. Once again, this was brought in. So this character is Jaehyung's good friend, and she flippantly remarks in a conversation with Sangwoo, in which they're exploring whether or not it is this is the dialogue around lust and love. She mentions casually that she has a girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend, and that she just views these sorts of relationships as normal. Likewise, we see, and I can't remember the character's name, Yeri, I think, the character who was chasing after Sungwoo, just like in the novel, kind of give away and give up her position to support the relationship between Jaehyung and Sungwoo. Now, I do want to address the idea of this kind of casting with regards to drawing upon the tropes of Gong and Soo, because as you can see here, the kind of stereotypically what is often argued as heteronormative representations of the male-male relationship are still coded within the web series. But through the ways in which the web series kind of focuses on the mutability and the flexibility of these two characters, kind of sexuality, for want of a better word, or the potentiality of this series, I would argue that one of the things that Semantic Era does rather cleverly is that through not addressing some of the kind of more explicit identitarian focuses of these characters, we're not seeing a kind of, oh, these are two straight men falling in love with each other sort of narrative that tends to be typical in classic BL. This aligns actually more fruitfully with recent trends that have emerged in transnational BL culture, particularly as BL has moved from Japan into other spaces such as Thailand and Taiwan and increasingly South Korea, in which we see a more open, fluid recognition of the potential of male-male romance that may reflect some kind of broader heteronormative kind of frameworks, but that can then be considered as part and parcel of a more expansive, fluid definition of what it means to be attracted to someone. But what is particularly interesting is the paratext that has emerged around these series, and particularly Semantic Era. Due to the massive success of the series, it was award-winning, just as the novel and the webtoon have been. These stars, particularly Park Jae-chan, who was from a, let's be quite honest, failing idol group, had his career revived. Meanwhile, Park Soham was also from a failed idol group, and ironically, he left for the military immediately before the release of the series, and I believe he's coming back within the next month. So it's going to be interesting to see how this affects his career. But what happened is that throughout their engagement, so this, for example, is a screenshot of a very popular YouTube-based kind of variety show where they talked about their participation in the series. There emerged as subtle LGBTQ plus advocates. I mentioned subtle here because within the highly polarized culture war currently gripping South Korea, to come out and talk openly about LGBTQ issues is almost career suicide if you are an idol. But you see throughout a lot of their engagements with each other in which they talk, we could potentially critique it for them talking about, oh, love is free, blah, 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 and a lot of the neoliberal logics of it. But within the context of South Korea, where there are particular market and political forces that constrain the ability for people, particularly celebrities, to advocate around sensitive issues, I think it's actually it's important to recognize that what they've been doing is a strategic thing. Now, most importantly, through interviews, it was revealed. So here's an interview with Sports W, with particularly with Park Soham and Park Jae-chan. I'm just going to summarize it, where they were talking about actually within the final epilogue scene, as scripted, there was no actual scripted kiss. This kiss scene that I showed you was the only one that was scripted into the original text, but the actors themselves highlighted to the director and the production team during the shooting of that final scene that actually, not only will fans want to see another kind of intimate interaction between the characters to demonstrate, because this epilogue is set in the future where they're cohabitating as a committed couple, they would actually want to see kinds of, intimate acts such as kissing. And indeed, that's important because they are a long-term couple and that kind of thing is natural. So once again, through advocating and also publicizing their advocation around these changes to the original script, they emerge as I said, subtle LGBTQ plus advocates. Perhaps most importantly was an interview in El Korea that featured Park Jae-chan, in which he was asked about this Gongsu split. And I did mention within the kind of feedback, the scholarship that emerges within BL studies emphasizes that the Gong and Su dichotomy or Sinneuke dichotomy is not equivalent to a male-female dichotomy, but more speaks to gendered expectations and stereotypes than actual positioning of people identitarily. But nevertheless, Park Jae-chan was approached to ask, didn't you feel uncomfortable playing the Sue character because that makes you somehow less of a man, was the context. And Jae-chan's response to that was like, I don't think that it really matters. Does a man have to look strong? I don't think so. I'm just being myself. I live my own way, and people can live their own way, which is a subtle kind of critique of the idea that the Su or bottom role is somehow diminished in due to the fact that it represents queerness. And this is something that many colleagues within Asian media studies and masculinity studies are kind of addressing with regards to cisophilia as one of the ways in which media makes sense of masculinity in contemporary, well, South Korean society as well as others. And last but not least, at many of the award ceremonies, Soham is in the military, so he wasn't able to appear and accept his awards, but he spoke. So Park Jae-chan would often make mention of the fact of his political commitment of, a kind of expansive definition of love, whilst not explicitly mentioning anything to do with LGBTQ plus politics. And this does make us think about limitations. This makes us think about whether this is merely just a marketing ploy on behalf of the production company to raise awareness and so forth. I don't use the word queer baiting because I think that that's a problematic term, as it's often misunderstood and misapplied within these contexts. But there is certainly an economic imperative behind what he's saying here. And it also is important to note that this is very distant from the tradition of queer activist filmmaking that exists within South Korea that is tied specifically to political questions. Though I would say that representational change is just as important as direct political action. And it's also important to remember that even though this series was widely popular in 2022, interview from, sorry, survey from Hankyore reveals that the majority of the population continue not to support things such as homosexuality more broadly or same-sex marriage, and that we haven't seen the success of this series trickle into broader public opinion. And that's possibly because it's limited to the world of women's media. That being said, we are seeing changes. At the end of 2022, noted film director Kim Jo Gwang-soo worked on the production and the transformation of the web BL webtoon Chin Ipsawon, The New Employee, into a web series, and drawing upon his political activist commitments to questions of LGBTQ rights, as well as his long tradition of LGBTQ plus media and queer media production and film, they transformed Shin Ipsawon from a BL text into an LGBTQ activist text, which I don't have time to talk about here. Likewise,
And talking about time, you're nearly out of time.
I'm going to wrap up. Likewise, we see such important kind of popular culture activists such as Holland, who is a openly gay indie K-pop idol who has appeared in some BL series and is continuing to appear in them into the future, talks about the role of BL as potentially shifting things. So I'm going to just talk very briefly. I think I'm going to have to skip my discussion of transnational stuff, which is maybe a bit too much to chew, but I'll talk about it in Q&A if people are interested. But I just want to highlight that what I see here is culture jamming. So culture jamming as a deconstructive queer practice is significant when we think about the potential of art to change public opinion. So the famous example I want to kind of compare with is this one on the Berlin Wall, where we see two political leaders from the Cold War era. The former Chancellor of East Germany or General Secretary and the then leader of the Soviet Union engaged in a kiss to kind of critique their corrupt politics, but at the same time, isn't a kiss between two famous idols a form of culture jamming within the context of Korea, in which it kind of leads to people to have that second guess? Does this kind of representation of love exist? Can it exist? And what sorts of changes need to happen to society in order for it to exist? And this is the kiss that the two actors kind of ad-libbed and brought into the series. So that's where I'm going to finish it. As I said, if people want to hear about the work on transnationalization, I can address that in question and answer time. Sorry for maybe slightly going over time. Thanks for listening.